Our scripture today is Isaiah 43, 1 through 16.
I'm going to interrupt you. This is my error, and I apologize. We're actually reading 16 to 21. In the bulletin, it says 1 through 16. Uh-huh. And so if we could jump to 16 to 21, okay. And I'm so sorry. My error. Pie is gone.
Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea, and the path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariot and the horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together. They shall not rise. They are extinct. They are quenched as tow. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and the rivers in the desert. The beast of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and the rivers in the desert. I give drink to my people, my chosen. This people have I formed for myself. They shall forth my praise. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Susan. I'm so sorry. I forgot that I got your name. We turn to our gospel lesson. We turn to the word. The word of God is for the people of God, and we are gathered here to hear about that anointing. If you will stand to honor the gospel, if you are capable, able, and comfortable doing so. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was the perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief and he kept the common purse and used to steal what was put in it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." The word of the Lord. Thanks. I invite you to be seated. Do any of you have any computerized devices of any kind? My toaster's computerized now. You know, I have to argue with the toaster some mornings, and it never gives in. And what about your phone? Don't you remember the day when you took it off the hook and you listened and then you hung it back up on the hook? You could find it. It was always attached by that little keep it here cord thing. And watches. How many of you have a watch that's a real old-fashioned, not computerized, not run with a battery watch? You know what I hate most about computers and about all that electronics is that I wait on it. It will all of a sudden say, "Please wait, upgrading. Updating, this will only take a moment. Now, it's been a few moments, but please wait, we're updating. 20% finished." I thought they were supposed to wait on us, not vice versa. But those upgrades, and they keep coming. And they happen at the worst times. We've had it happen here in worship. The computer up here is off all week long. And when we turn it on and start it up, if there was an upgrade during the week, it will say, "Oh, please wait. Upgrading." I guess the issue is impatience, isn't it? I just want to store all those times that I'm waiting, store them all up and use them on my next vacation time, you know. Just pay it back to me. Nobody's going along with the idea? Last week we talked about impatience. There were the people, you recall there, Moses had led the people out of captivity and they were in the wilderness, and he went up on the mountain to consult with God, and he was delayed in returning. And the people became impatient. There was an upgrade. There was an upgrade that was coming down off the mountain, the Ten Commandments. It was an upgrade from God. And they became impatient and they turned to the golden calf. There was a battle, a pitched battle upon the return for those who said, let's just stick with the old worship, the golden calf worship. It's familiar. It's what we've always known. Let's go back to Windows XP. Let's go back to a hand calculator. Let's go back to our abacuses. I don't know what the plural is of abacus, so you'll just have to deal with it. But the people were impatient and there was disagreement about the upgrade. God reminds people of God's works. God reminds them as he's talking to us today. He reminds us of how God is in the midst of things and has been in the midst of change. And that's what we heard this morning with Suzanne as she read Isaiah 43. He's reminding us of that Exodus event. You recall they left Egypt. Finally, Pharaoh said, leave. And they depart and they come to the Red Sea. But Pharaoh changed his mind and he's pursuing them. And now they're trapped between the oncoming army of chariots and warriors and the Red Sea. And they're trapped there. And God directs Moses and he parts the seas. Listen to what he said in Isaiah. Did you hear it? Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings out chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. God was doing an upgrade. Consider the changes that God brought with that. Consider the changes that occurred and consider this passage that Isaiah came out of. I don't know how much you know about the book of Isaiah. It's a big book. Have you noticed of all the books, there's some really short ones. Just a couple chapters, really. Read Jude sometime. Or some of the letters. The whole letter is one verse. But Isaiah, it's long. And the reason is probably because there were originally three different sets of prophets that contributed to Isaiah. There's first Isaiah, which was all of Isaiah up to the time when they were conquered by Cyrus II of Persia and hauled away to Babylon, 539 BCE. And they're in captivity and they're there for a generation. And that's when second Isaiah was written, is while they're captives, torn from their homeland, slaves, if you will, living in Babylon, pining for home. And then third Isaiah is after they return. But this is second Isaiah that we heard today. And he's reminding the people while they're in captivity, while they're enslaved. Do you remember the works I've done for you? Do you remember when I brought you through the Red Sea? Think on those things. Remember those things. And he brings them out of captivity. He brings them back to their homes, Israel. They bring them back and there's change. The temple has changed now. It's been sacked, destroyed. So temple worship is not what it was. And the altar sacrifices are not what they were anymore. And things have changed. It's been an upgrade. It's part of history. Think about the Catholic Church as it was started. The Christian Church, Simon Peter began it. Upon this rock I shall build the church. And the church grew and became what became the Catholic Church. 1,000 years. And it became a little ingrown and a little bit corrupt. Human works can do that sometimes. And along came a priest by the name of Martin Luther. You remember him? You've heard of him? And he started a group called the Lutherans. He protested against the church and formed the Protestant group, of which we are one. Well, at the same time he split off, several other groups split off. There was the Calvinists. They became Presbyterians, John Calvin's followers. There were the Anabaptists. They became the Baptist tradition. And they all split off. There was an upgrade going on there, but it got confused and split off. In the first 40 years, there were 50 different denominations formed. And it seems like we're making a couple every year, doesn't it? Pretty soon it will be, each church will be each individual if we keep going this way. Come on, that was a little bit of humor. Give me that much. I told the kids about the anointing of Jesus. It's the different anointing. We have the anointing of Jesus that occurs in all four of the Gospels. Let's say them together. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If you never learn anything else in church, you should learn the names of the Gospels. The only biblical things that you ever learn that at least know where the Gospels are. So here are the other three Gospels. John is different because the other three, the anointing is at the beginning of his ministry, preparing him for becoming the Messiah, the King, the Teacher. Preparing him as he begins. But John's Gospel is significant different. And it says that right in there. This is Mary anointing Jesus for his death. Pound of costly perfume. It would have been worth quite a bit of money. Maybe even as much worth as a piece of gold. And there was debate about, shouldn't that have been spent on helping the poor? We heard that debate. But this is anointing Jesus for his death. This is a sad passage. And it's an unusual situation. This is different than other positions where we've heard the anointing, because Jesus is at home with his adopted family. This is Martha and Mary and Lazarus. You remember Lazarus? Lazarus was so close to Jesus that when he heard of his death, Jesus wept. The shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. And he raised him from the dead. And so this is his close family. And they're in a small room and they're gathered. And a pound of this perfume. Can you imagine the odor of the place? Can you imagine? It permeated. It would have been thick with the smell of that perfume, of that nard. And as we think about that for this gathering, we recognize this was the smell of impending death. It was change, but it is death. It's an ugly death, too. Crucifixion. We need to realize that's one of those other upgrades. You see, before Jesus' time, anyone who was crucified they were awful people. And if they were crucified, that proved that God didn't love them and God, in fact, hated them. In fact, Deuteronomy, the law says anyone crucified is under God's curse. So people knew if you got crucified, you were just a bad person. And here is crucified the perfect one, the only one that was never bad. The most loving and beloved one. The term is upgraded now, and that crucifix and the crucifixion is changed. God upgraded the laws and upgraded our faith. As Jesus makes that atonement for original sin, the perfect, blameless lamb, the sacrifice. Major changes come. And Jesus brought so many of those. We spend a good part of the year talking about some of the changes that Jesus has brought. Some of the ways he's re-taught us how to be God's faithful people. How he's taken the laws and refined them where they've gotten a little bit off track and been misused to abuse. Caught a woman in the act of adultery, and the laws are very specific, but Jesus does not allow her to be stoned to death. Jesus is upgrading us. It was not a wondrous time. That time gathered with Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Did they all know? Were they all completely aware of what must come? I think Jesus must have been. In John's gospel, we have him telling the disciples over and over again, I must go to Jerusalem and there die. Because you can't be raised until you've died. So it was not a wondrous time, and it was not a bloodless time. Sometimes we think about that as we think about our church and about our faith, and we talk about, oh, we're Christians, and look how prosperous we are, and God loves us, and nothing bad ever happens to us. But 11 of the 12 apostles were martyred to death. We need to remember that piece, that sometimes we are called to hard upgrades, to painful upgrades. Perhaps we should reevaluate our impatience. So change. Change is nail-biting. Change is nerve-wracking. Change is unsettling, and we don't like it. Even if it's upgrading our computer, will it still work the way it did? And change is all around us. We're looking at our society and our churches and things happening in our denomination. And change is, you can smell it in the air. It is, something's happening, and it is unsettling. But God has always been with God's people. God has always been with God's people through it all. Remember what he said to them. God made a way, a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters. Through the Red Sea, through that waters, God made a way, and God was with God's people. God was with God's people, turning from a group of religions that included worshiping idols such as golden calves. That must have been so unsettling, so difficult, so traumatic, so financially difficult. Think of all the tradesmen that were making golden calves to sell. They're all out of jobs. There's a lesson there about morality is not guided by prosperity. But that's another sermon on another day, perhaps. And God in Christ establishes a new covenant. A new covenant ushering in Christianity. Christianity. They didn't call that at first. They called it the way. And if you were Christian, you were persecuted. So there's change in the midst. Do you smell that change? Do you feel that change going on? A little unsettled? Do not be impatient. God says, I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? Don't be impatient, for God will be with us. God is always with us. So perhaps we need to remember the words of that old song. Trust and obey. Amen.